What's in a name? If it's a beach or a mountain or a stream, it can tell you what it looks like or who's been there. It can also document a change of ownership or the movement of a people. A new book from the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute presents about 3,000 Southeast Alaskan Native place names. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has more.
I'm standing next to the highway on the waterfront near downtown Juneau, where Gold Creek enters Gastineau Channel. But those are new names assigned by European explorers or their descendants. The people who lived here before called this place Zontakahini, flounder at the base of the creek. It's now the name of a middle school several miles away. The name, and hundreds more, have come close to being lost, replaced by Western labels. A new book from Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and the University of Washington Press preserves them on paper. Here's the title.
It means our grandparents' names on the land.
That's Harold Martin, who handled many of the book's research logistics. He says the effort started about 20 years ago when anthropologist Tom Thornton came to him with an idea.
We talked at length about what was happening, that we were losing our elders at a rapid pace. And every time we lost an elder, we lost a lot of history and knowledge.
They found funding and started turning to those with the knowledge. Thornton says they weren't sure how much they would find.
A lot of people thought these names were lost, but in fact, they weren't. A lot of them were documented in sources, but a lot of them were still alive in people's minds and memories.
The researchers were also careful to follow protocol. A wrong move, asking the wrong person, could have closed doors.
First thing we had to do was go out into the villages and get permission to proceed with the project. We couldn't just go ahead on our own. We had to get permission from the federally recognized tribal governments.
They took charts or maps to elders, pointing out places and asking for names. Martin found he remembered many from his childhood, sailing southeast with his fisherman father, conversing in Tlingit. In addition to the names, the book includes scholarly discussion of native languages and how their use differs with English. Thornton points out that Western names often commemorate a person, a politician or a scientist or someone who funded an expedition.
That's a strong tradition in America, but in Tlingit, you almost never see that. Usually it's the opposite. The people are named after the places rather than the places being named after the people.
Tlingit, Haida, and most other traditional names are descriptive. They can communicate geography or the relationship between features.
The example is Glacier Bay itself was supposedly named after the Tlingit name for the bay. But that name in Tlingit, Sit-i-ti-ge-i, means literally bay taking the place of the glacier.
The names also document the use of the land. Martin says that's helpful during subsistence or other political conflicts.
I ran into state agency, federal agencies, and conservationists saying that there's no evidence that certain areas were ever used by natives for subsistence purposes. All they had to do is look at our chart, and they have their names. There's no place in Southeast Alaska that wasn't used at one time or another for one reason or another.
The researchers say the book is not complete. Thornton expects to find more place names from documents and memories, and that's not all.
And hopefully there'll be new names on the land, because that's a tradition that's very important in Tlingit and Haida, is to continue to name places.
Proceeds from the book go to the Heritage Institute to support further cultural projects. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau, the part also known as Zontakahini.